The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so good evening. It's nice to see you all. You know, when we do a loving kindness practice, we have three elements happening. We have the phrases, which we say. We have a vision, or maybe otherwise a sense of the person to whom we're sending loving kindness. And then we have like the felt sense of just loving kindness. Like, how does that feel, just in general? For me, I often feel it as kind of a softening, or maybe even a warmth in the heart center. So we have these three things: the phrases, the feeling, and maybe a vision or an idea of the person to whom we're sending loving kindness. So we could think of this as a way of kind of a bottoms-up and a top-down approach. If we top-down is kind of more cognitive, so we're using the phrases and visualizing, kind of using our mental capacity to provoke or prime the pump or evoke a feeling. And so the feeling is more kind of like bottoms-up idea, that we cultivate the feeling. And I would say in loving-kindness practice, it's more the feeling that tends to be more transformative, that tends to stay with us, tends to have the biggest effect. But we're so used to having kind of like approaching things cognitively. So we use the phrases to help us to get to that feeling. And also we recognize that sometimes that feeling of loving kindness just simply isn't accessible for whatever reason, right? There may be a number of different reasons. And not only is the feeling not accessible, maybe the opposite feelings are accessible, right? When we start wanting to send good wishes, good vibes towards somebody, we may be reminded of all the times we didn't send good wishes or good vibes, or it may come to mind all the things that this individual did that irked us or something like this. So in that way, that loving kindness practice isn't always easy, right? We don't get to choose what comes up. We just create the conditions. There's certain settling down, and then whatever arises. Maybe it's a feeling of loving kindness. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a feeling of ill will or sadness or something like this. So it's not necessarily easy, but we'd like to do it with ease as much as we can. To relax, soften, allow. This isn't something that we can force our way into, sledgehammer our way around. This isn't like a problem that we can fix, which is such an interesting idea, because so much of our lives are about problems that we fix. And you can go a certain distance in your meditation practice, in your loving kindness practice, fixing problems, but you can only go so far. It requires a really easeful way. But it also requires effort. So we have to find our way with effort and ease, with relaxation and yet application. And in this way, loving kindness practice in some way can really help. If we kind of put some attention on the feeling of loving kindness. Or perhaps it's another feeling that comes. And just allowing that to be there. Recognize that's what's happening. Warmth in a heart. Some tension. Maybe some racing thoughts. Lots of memories. If we can recognize what's actually happening, instead of like trying to ignore it or repress it. And then relax as best we can, and then come back as best we can to the feeling or to the phrases. So if we're doing these three things, the phrases, visualizing, or I'll say visualizing, and having a feeling. If you are having a feeling of loving kindness, maybe like 70% of your attention could be on the feeling. Maybe like 20, 25% with visualizing to whom you're sending loving kindness. And then the rest on the phrases. So the phrases are concepts and words that are just to help us to have, help create the conditions in which we have certain experiences. And it turns out that if we do this, if we create the conditions for loving kindness to arise, creating doing the phrases, visualizing, and focusing on the feeling, then our lives can be transformed in a subtle way. So much of our lives that we don't recognize are really about our emotional responses to things. I don't like this, I don't like that, I want this. But they're a little bit just under the radar from our cognitive, our conscious, what's available. And with this practice, we start to soften and open, and sometimes maybe we're shifting what our responses are instead of an automatic like, no, this must not happen, and all this aversion and ill will. There can be some, it's okay, I love you anyway, that kind of a feeling. It's okay, I love you anyway. Whatever it may be, we practice with a benefactor and with ourself, but you may find that it's okay, I love you anyway, starts to bubble up in all kinds of places when we start with this practice. And with that softening, with that, not shoving things away, then our wisdom can show up too, like the best version of ourselves. There's that spaciousness or openness. There can be creative ways that we hadn't thought of before of how to work with difficulties or relationships or whatever it may be. Also, it's not uncommon for this to be a pleasant experience. For those of you who were last week, Nikki talked about how it's not uncommon for the opposite of loving kindness to show up. But it's often can be a very pleasant experience to kind of just relax into goodwill. And of course, we can't grab onto that pleasant experience. We just notice it and allow it to flow through. Like all other experiences, it'll arise and pass away. I ran across this short little stanza from William Blake that I like, that I'd like to just read. It talks about joy, but we could replace joy with all kinds of different things. And William Blake, in his poem Eternity, writes, "He who binds himself to joy does the winged life destroy." Right? If you grab onto this, then your life gets stuck somehow. "But he who kisses the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise." So in this way, we can kind of like, maybe there'll be some loving kindness that arises and pass away. Maybe there'll be a little bit of ill will that arises and passes away. We can just allow these things to bubble up. We're just creating the conditions for some softness, for some ease. So in today's meditation, I'll start us with just getting settled with some breath meditation. We just place the focus on the breath, and when the mind wanders, you just come back to the breath, to the sensations of breathing. Then we'll do loving kindness to a benefactor, and then we'll do loving kindness to ourself, just like as we have been doing for the preceding weeks. And then I'd encourage anybody who would like to get a cushion, or to, if you feel like you want to adjust your seating in any way, so you should be able to sit comfortably. kind of upright and alert, but in a way that where you're not going to fall asleep, but you're not going to be in pain either. And you're welcome to come in if you'd like here. And then I it's like a habit of mine to always say, take an alert, upright posture. For me, I like that. But maybe for metta, I should say something like alert, upright, and soft, or you know, something like that, right? That there has to be ease and alertness. And if you need to, you can shift your posture. You can just do so very quietly, very simply, very slowly, if you need to shift during the meditation. Okay, so we'll take an alert, upright posture with some softness. And let's start with three long, slow, deep breaths. Just as a way to connect with the body. Be reminded what it feels like to breathe. And then let's begin with some mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. That is, you can place your awareness, put your focus on the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or maybe feeling the air going in and out of the nose. Just choose one of those three, whichever is the easiest or is the most relaxing. And just rest your awareness there. Perhaps with the exhale, you can check in with your body. Is there some tension that can readily soften or let go of without making it a problem? Often we have tension behind the eyes. Sometimes the jaw. The shoulders. See if you can let the shoulder blades slide down the back. The hands. Just let them relax. The belly, what about your legs? Are they relaxed? If you find that there's some tension that doesn't readily soften, that's okay. See if you can bring some ease to the tension, just allowing the tension to be there. And then bringing our attention back to the sensations of breathing. If it's helpful, you can say a little mental note, like a whisper in the mind. When you feel the chest or the abdomen moving, maybe it's a note, something like rising, and then falling. Just as a way to stay connected to the sensations of breathing. When your mind has wandered, that's okay, that's what minds do. Just very gently bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. For now, see if you can settle in with the breathing. There's nowhere else to be and nothing else to do right now. You can just be here with the sensations of breathing. So now we'll begin our loving kindness or metta meditation. And we'll begin with a benefactor, somebody for whom it's easy to feel goodwill towards, someone it's easy to love, somebody you want to send good vibes, warm wishes. Very often this is a person that we have an uncomplicated relationship with. Perhaps we've never actually met this person, but they are a spiritual leader or another type of leader, or somebody who has touched our lives and we wish him or her well. We feel grateful for them. We have respect for them. Take a moment and choose a person. It's easiest if you choose, for today's practice, I'm going to say one person, so that we can relax and settle in using one person. It doesn't have to be the perfect person. You don't have to choose the perfect one. Alternatively, if there isn't somebody that comes to mind that you can readily love, send goodwill towards, some people practice with animals, maybe a kitten or puppy or a dog or a cat. To bring the loving, lovable benefactor or whomever you've chosen. If you can visualize this person or this being, and then to help kind of prime the pump and to help evoke a feeling of loving kindness, you can say the phrases. So you can repeat after me silently. Often it's helpful to do it with the exhale. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. If these phrases feel awkward or clunky, you're welcome to revise them into a way that more readily evokes a sense of goodwill. Maybe a different language, doesn't have to be English, of course. And check in and see if there's a feeling of goodwill, loving intentions. There may be and there may not be. Both are fine. If you find a feeling of goodwill, you can allow it to get as big as it wants. If there's perhaps the opposite of goodwill or sadness, or see if you can soften and make space and allow that feeling to be there too. While setting the intention for loving kindness. Bringing the benefactor to mind, or the being, whomever it's easy to feel loving kindness toward. Should be done with a sense of spaciousness and ease, yet also with just enough effort to keep the mind on loving kindness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Again, checking in with any feelings, emotions, any felt sense of warm-heartedness, caring, and allowing that to grow if it wants to. Giving that space. Bringing the benefactor to mind, or whatever being you've chosen. And feel the warm-heartedness, the loving intentions that you're sending this person, or this creature, this being. Now we're going to broaden this feeling of loving kindness, make it a little bit bigger. See if you can expand and include yourself in loving kindness, wishing yourself goodwill, wishing yourself safety and happiness. It's not always easy to do this. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But this is a practice. And we do the best we can without making it a problem or a big project. Again, having some ease coupled with some effort. So bring to mind yourself in whatever way that makes sense to you. Maybe it's visualizing yourself. Maybe you're feeling like the physical sensations. And include yourself in this sense of goodwill that we've cultivated, just like we sent to our benefactor in the same way. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Of course, simply wishing for these things doesn't make them happen. But we're cultivating a sense of goodwill, care, love, compassion. So the phrases are a way to promote those wishes, intentions, kind of soften the mind and the heart. Create the conditions in which loving kindness and wisdom can arise. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. if it's difficult for loving kindness for yourself, or feels for whatever reason too complicated or just not accessible, you're welcome to go back to doing loving kindness for the benefactor or another being. We're cultivating loving kindness. It doesn't have to be a particular object. Relax. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And check in and see if there's a feeling of loving kindness, goodwill, warmth. Maybe it's subtle. It doesn't have to be your predominant experience. And just notice. Rest your awareness. On that feeling. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So in that meditation, I started us with just paying attention to the sensations of breathing, just as a way to get settled and to kind of finish arriving. Often we kind of leave our minds part, I don't know how this works exactly, but where we were or where we're going or something, but to kind of help come all together here and to settle. And then to choose a way in which it's an individual or a being in which it's easy to practice loving kindness. And trying to find some ease with this, as opposed to some tightness that sometimes can happen when we're trying to make something happen. We have this project that needs to be done, or this problem that needs to be solved. We're trying to just kind of like ease into this. And then once we have this sense of loving kindness, goodwill, to just make it a little bit bigger to include ourselves. Which sometimes is complicated, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it comes up all the reasons why we don't send ourselves goodwill. But sometimes we can appreciate, yeah, okay, maybe I'm a mixture of things and I've done good things, I've helped some people. We can recognize that. Or maybe it's just because we have cultivated goodwill with the benefactor, it's easy to kind of extend it to others, including ourselves. So now I'd love to hear, how was that for you? Any comments or questions? How was those transitions from going to the breath to loving kindness for a benefactor to the self? How was working with the phrases versus looking at the feeling versus visualizing these three different things? I often don't mention visualizing as often because it's difficult for me. So I apologize for those of you who are really, it's easy for. I'm often forgetting to mention it. That's, my mind doesn't work that way so well. So sometimes it slips my mind. And then I'd like us to use microphones if we can.
I'm quite new to this. I've never done this before, and this is about, I think, my fourth time coming here. So I don't know if this is normal, but every time what's happened to me is I think, spent most of the time feeling physical sensations, like I have this discomforting nerve thing going on in my arm, and I've been focusing on that. And somehow, during the process, I've managed to lose consciousness for about a minute towards the end. Right before you ring the bell, I guess I fall asleep because I actually am not conscious right at that moment when you ring the bell. But I think it's only for about a minute. I think it's a very short time. But it's a very deeply relaxing minute. I don't know if that's normal. I'm just...
So you said it was deeply relaxing.
Deeply,
so
it's worth the other 29 minutes or whatever it is of feeling this pain in my arm. Yeah.
But can I ask you, does it happen after I say, for the last moments of this meditation, or whatever I say, feel the pressure of the chair or your feet on the ground? Does it happen
after,
like then?
It's after
so
that.
So when you know that it's over, then there's like this letting go.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
There's like, that's fantastic. So great to notice that. Right, this is not uncommon. It's very common.
Oh, good.
That right at the very end, is there a certain type of letting go, like, yeah. Oh, the end, finally.
Yeah.
And so I would say that part of it is a sign that there's a little too much effort, a little trying to make something happen, which makes sense if you're uncomfortable, if you're physically uncomfortable. That often kind of revs us up in a certain way that we want to change things mm-hmm. and make it not be painful and mm-hmm. make it better.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
The movement is to soften as best you can. And one way you can notice is at the end, what is that...
Yeah.
Finally, at the end, the more you can soften during the meditation, the magnitude of that little release at the end will get less and less,
mm-hmm.
so much so that there isn't one at the end. You just kind of ease out.
That would be good. Yeah.
But also I want to say kudos to you, right? It's sometimes hard to start a new practice or a new something.
I've needed it for a long time.
So welcome, and I'm happy to have seen you here these times. I think it's fantastic. It's not always easy to start something new. Any other comments? Yes, I have another microphone. Or, yeah, maybe we can just like send the microphone across the room here.
Thanks. So during the loving kindness of the benefactor, I got a really strong physical sensation, I think when we were trying to get to the feeling, I suddenly felt a tightness in my chest, I had to swallow a lot, and my whole body got really hot, like my head got really hot, warm, and I'll just say that I was one of the lucky ones who didn't experience hot flashes, so I know it wasn't that, but it was just like my whole head was like really, really hot, like on fire.
Mm. And was it like unpleasant or pleasant or kind
well,
of
well, it was just like unused. So, I mean, I was trying to just say, wow, what's going on here? And not get too caught up in what the content might have been, but just observe the
fantastic.
Yeah. But it was just odd.
And then afterwards, how did
it
you
went
feel?
Away. Yeah, it just.
And then did you feel relaxed and open afterwards, or were you a little bit agitated? Like, what was that? Wow.
I was curious about it, but I don't feel like it got me agitated. I just, you know, it just went away, and I just went back on.
Yeah, this is fantastic, the way that you're working with this, actually. We don't often know what some of these things are, but I know Nikki has mentioned this before, and maybe I've said it too, this idea that there's purification. So this is it's not unusual for when we kind of open up and make space, then things kind of shift around in our inner life. we often don't know what they are, and I wouldn't say that we need to know what they are. It's just things arising and passing away, things that we haven't been paying attention to or things like that. So just part of the unfolding. I used to have, like, my right arm would, like, move sometimes. I was like, what is that? I don't know. It's just something that would happen sometimes. Yes, Paula.
When we sent loving kindness to ourselves, initially, and I tend to do this often, I guess, I was saying, may you, like there's this... more like Buddha, higher self I have that is more compassionate, so it sends it to myself, basically, the rest of me. So I'm used to saying that, like, may you be happy, me. So, but I tried when you said, may I, and it felt much more radical, like, that I don't usually wish myself kindness, which I... When I do it the other way, I'm not aware of that at all. That was one thing. The other thing was sometimes it felt like asking permission, which I didn't like at all.
Yeah.
Like to some grand parent in the sky or something.
No, that's a good point. Like, may I, mother, may I?
Yeah, it was that. Like it didn't happen all the time, but sometimes.
Yeah. So if you find that that's really awkward, you're welcome to find something else. Wishing me safety. Wishing me happiness or something. That could be, I'm just making this up, but you could find something else that gets away from that permission one.
Okay, that sounds great.
And the difference between, like, the for oneself doing, like, may you, that is me, be happy versus may I be happy, I think it's great that you noticed that there is a difference. It's not uncommon that to wish ourselves happiness is difficult. Somehow we have this idea in America, it seems, I don't know if it's elsewhere, I imagine, that we don't want to let ourselves off the hook, that we don't want to be too nice to ourselves because then otherwise we won't get anything done. We'll just lounge around eating bonbons all day or something. I don't know. Well, there's in fact been a lot of research on this too, and it turns out that people who do kind of practice loving kindness for themselves and self-compassion for themselves tend to be more successful, quote unquote. That is because they're more willing to take risks, because they can love themselves anyway. They're more willing to say no when they need to say no, because they can take care of themselves. So they tend to be able to find their way in the world, to recover from heartache and recover from all the terrible things that happen to us. So, yeah, sometimes it's not easy, but it can be really a worthwhile practice to do loving kindness or self-compassion. That's why we're choosing to do it with a benefactor where it's easiest and start, then go towards oneself. In the classical way, like in the early Buddhist scriptures, they start with themselves. When it brought to the West, they realize, oh, all these Westerners, it's not so easy for them to do loving kindness for themselves. So we start with a benefactor. Anybody else have some comments? Did anybody choose alternative phrases? So Paula says yes, sometimes. Did anybody find the opposite of goodwill arising? Can I ask you to use the mic?
Thank you. Well, I don't know if I have too much to share, but I feel like I was so tired that I was in and out of the exercise. And I experienced this before. And today I was saying, okay, I'm just going to go and do my best and everything. And in the moment that I feel like I start you know, sinking into the present moment is when I feel that I just need to sleep. And probably that is what I need, my body needs right now. So I was just trying to say, repeat the phrases, and sometimes I was going in and out of consciousness. That's why I tried to move a little bit, you know, to challenge my physical body. So I don't know, maybe I think that is something that I just need to practice at home in a different moment or in a different time. I don't know what is it.
So do you think that you are sleep deprived?
Well, I wake up at 5:30 and it's from work. I just came here, so it's not a moment in my day to stop and actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a few things I can say. So it's very common that, so like to come here and to finally like stop. You realize how exhausted you are, right? And of course you're tired. Also, right, we have dim lights here. I'm speaking in a soft voice, right?
Your voice is very soothing.
Right, so, you know, we're creating the conditions for, you know, just kind of a certain relaxation to happen. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that it's not uncommon that just kind of like collapsing or shutting down energetically, physically, emotionally, can be a way to avoid something difficult. It's a very common, this is very common. So maybe something flickers in our mind and like, oh, I'm not ready to deal with that. And it just, we feel overwhelmed by it. And then we just kind of shut down. I do a lot of this. I didn't even know I did this before, but when I started this practice, I noticed that I would sometimes just like kind of collapse when things were, when something difficult would come up. So there's a few things you can do when this arises. One is you can open your eyes. Open your eyes and maybe like have a soft gaze, like down 45 degrees. And just, you know, having the light come in will makes it more difficult to fall asleep. Another one, as you said, is you said, like a shifting your posture. So you can sit up with maybe a little bit more energy than you would normally, you know, just in a way that takes just a little bit more energy. And with the phrases, you know, I'm saying them in a kind of like a slow way. But maybe if you're falling asleep and you want to not fall asleep, if you want to fall asleep, it's something different, right? But to say, have a little energy in the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. So say them with a little energy, not in a frantic way, but with a little bit more energy. So these things, the light, the body, and the way that you say the phrases can help bring it up. And then maybe the last thing I'll say, sometimes it's helpful just to acknowledge, oh, wow, I feel exhausted. And then just to allow yourself to feel exhausted and to bring your mindfulness to that. Like, what does it feel like to feel exhausted? Heaviness in the shoulders, maybe this real tiredness behind the eyes, whatever. So that you, once you kind of like recognize what's really happening, then sometimes it can soften and go away. It like, I don't know exactly how this works, but it's something like once you see it, clearly what's happening, then it can do something else.
Like it's not, you're not resisting it anymore.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect. Okay, I will try that. Thank you.
Right, right. There's a saying, what you resist, persists.
Right?
So I've mentioned this two times. I mentioned it a third time. That next week we're at 5:30, but then starting in June, we'll be at 6 o'clock. We'll start at 6 o'clock. And it'll be at 6 o'clock throughout the summer and throughout September. And certainly before October, Nikki and I will have figured out what we're going to do for the fall while I'm gone. So maybe I'll say that it makes me happy to see all of you here. I think it's a beautiful thing to want to cultivate some softness, gentleness, loving kindness. It's not always easy. Sometimes it is, maybe sometimes it isn't, but I think it's a beautiful thing and I feel touched by it. So, thank you.
Thank you. started 2 weeks and until September.
Yeah.